We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 10% discount to RotoViz by using the code RVRadio2022. That's RVRADIO2022. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel. Now, without further ado, here's the latest edition of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. Welcome into the 2024 Season 8 season finale of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. I am Eric Balkman, your host. You know me from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, the Better Sports Network's High Stakes Fantasy Football Show, and of course, the Fantasy Football Players Championship, myffpc.com, the FFPC, myffpc.com. Hello, how are you? It is the final show of our eighth season of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown, and if it's gone by that fast for you, it has gone by even faster for me. Cannot wait to tell you what's on tap for Season 9. That'll come at the end of the program. But before we can get to Season 9, we have to complete Season 8. Ladies and gentlemen, the 2024 FFPC Playoff Challenge 2 Championships are here. Register at myffpc.com, myffpc.com. $200 entry fee will get you in to play for a $100,000 grand prize. A $35 entry will get you in to play for a $25,000 grand prize. We have space in here, plenty of room for them. I think we're looking at, oh boy, I shouldn't have done this, but I'm putting myself up to math here. We are about 80% of the way to go in the $200 competition, and we are about, oh my goodness, I would say roughly the same, maybe a little bit more in the $35 competition. Plenty of time to register, but I would recommend that since both of these contests usually sell out, get your entries in now at myffpc.com and then worry about filling out your lineups on Friday night, Saturday afternoon before the games start, before the Texans and Ravens kick us off, which we'll get into on the program tonight. MYFFPC.com is where to do that. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on the video, share it, and get notified every time we go live tonight. This week on tonight's episode, we have a special treat for you. A guy who tied for the title in the 2022-2023 FFPC Playoff Challenge number two. The Football Guys Playoff Challenge number two, and then was the runner-up, tied for the runner-up in the 2022-2023 FFPC Playoff Challenge 2. A lot of success in this contest. He's got the cash to show for it. Please welcome, I believe making his debut on this show, but you've seen him on these FFPC airwaves before. It is the incomparable Bear Den Bill, a.k.a. Bill McCall. Bill, welcome in tonight, man.
What's going on, Eric? Thanks for the intro. Happy to be here.
It's exciting to have you back, my friend. And we'll get in, you know, I'm going to get into some Bears discussion. Maybe it's best to lead off with some Bears discussion. What do you think your Bears are going to do with the number one pick? And what do you want them to do with the number one pick?
Well, we know they'll probably do the wrong thing with any coaches they're going to hire and any picks they're going to do. But what I would do if it was me is I would keep Justin Fields, give him another shot here because we've got the number one pick to trade down again like they did last year and bring back another haul of players' picks where they can surround him with better talent on the offensive line, get a couple more wide receivers and a good offensive coordinator that can use him and see what they can do. And also really bulk up the defense, which came on pretty good down the stretch there. So I don't mind keeping Eberflus, you know, with the defensive mind he's got, and they showed a lot of progress. The players seem to play hard for him, but it's the Bears ownership just doesn't seem to do the right thing. So we don't have a lot of confidence, but we're going to keep the hope up.
Is there something to be said for keeping Fields, but also drafting a quarterback with the number one overall pick? In other words, you keep Fields as a stopgap, and then when Caleb Williams or Drake May or whoever it is ready to come up, now the Bears are, pardon the pun, loaded for bear. And then they can trade Fields at that point or let him go or trade him and get what they can. Is there something to be said for that?
I mean, if it's me, I'm not doing it with the number one pick. If they traded down and maybe they got somebody in the late first round, then it's not needing to have to start right away and creating this whole battle with Fields where if it's the number one pick, it's either one or the other, I think. And then you use the other to get a bunch of value. You know, I'm sure they're going to see what could they get for Fields in trade in terms of picks, players, et cetera. And then they could use the number one pick on Caleb Williams or whoever they go with there. But I don't think you could do the number one pick and keep Fields. It's just going to create a tough situation, I think.
A bad situation for not only Fields, but Caleb Williams too. If again, whoever they pick, if they do pick Williams or May, whoever it is, it's probably going to be, and you think about the media attention to that and like the questions every single day about, you know, what's going on with the quarterback position. Probably not the way you want to go out there. Plenty of time to talk about that. Plenty of time to talk about the NFL draft going forward. What I want to focus in on today is the FFPC Playoff Challenge too. The Divisional Playoff Challenge is something that we established several years ago, and it's something that you actually had some success in, and great success in, might I add, this past year, Bill. You had the you tied for first place in the Football Guys Playoff Challenge last year, and you tied for second place in the FFPC Playoff Challenge, Divisional Playoff Challenge. I'm talking about for both of these. So obviously, you had a great year with this contest. Can you tell us a little bit, because there is a little bit more nuance. There's a little bit more of, it's a different type of contest. You think about the playoff challenge, which we just launched this past week, where you have to fade two teams and pick 12 players. Now you're not fading any teams and you're picking only eight players. Can you tell us a little bit about your process and how you sort of attack this contest and attacked it with a lot of success last year?
What I'd say I learned from last year is that I need to find some leverage points where it's not the same as everybody else picking. Cause I think I tied with like 100 other teams. So the money that would have been really big was really spread out. So this year, the approach would be, you know, where can I find a couple of teams and pick a player that is going to be a lot less owned so that I can try to take down the number one prize.
And I think there's a lot of different paths to get there. What has been the path that you have been taking as you mold this out, as you build your lineups? Is it simply filling out a bracket and then picking a pivot player from one or both of your projected Super Bowl teams? Or is there something more to it?
Yeah, I think it's doing that, but also looking at, well, every player needs to have a ceiling. So we're not looking for floor players here. It's got to be somebody who's demonstrated a ceiling at least a couple times this year. And then is there somebody that comes up in that category that you could fade that has another player on that team that also could have a ceiling? So think about the 49ers, for instance. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is the biggest player that everybody is going to want to take and obviously has floor and ceiling, but he's going to probably be like 90% owned in this contest. So is there another 49er that we could pick that also has a ceiling that would get us away from you know, the field and give us the leverage to jump ahead if maybe they have a bigger game than McCaffrey and one or, you know, how many games they might play, three games. So there's some opportunity there. And really, is McCaffrey truly healthy with that calf injury? That's probably just a tweak, but there's a question mark there. So, you know, there's other teams that you can look at the same kind of thing, but I kind of like focusing in on that, as I'm not going to be using McCaffrey in most of the lineups that I would enter in this.
Okay. So I think there's a lot to unpack, not only with the Niners, but all eight teams that are in the playoffs still. One fourth of the league still alive for the Super Bowl championship, which makes all eight teams live as everybody tries to figure out what the winning lineup is going to be for $100,000 grand prize here coming up in a few weeks. Let's go team by team. I think that's the best way to handle it. Bill, let's start with the Houston Texans. Nico Collins had a boffo week last week. Obviously, no Tank Dell. You still have Noah Brown, who is dinged up. If you are a massive believer in the Texans, I think you can make a case for C.J. Stroud. If you are a minor believer in the Texans, I think Devin Singletary, there is a case to be made. I would not want to be the lawyer making that case because I would not want to be the lawyer making that case because I think I would come up on the losing end of that. To me, Nico Collins is the play. But as you might think, 80 to 90% of the field is probably going to be thinking Nico Collins is the play. Is there any Texan that you could say, Balky, I really like this guy as much as I like Nico Collins, or close to as much as I like Nico Collins in this contest?
Personally, I'd have a hard time fading Nico Collins just with his ceiling, and Stroud's going to go to him all day, and they just don't have a second option that has as high of a ceiling. But you could make a case for Schultz, similar to Ferguson last week, for instance, you know, going off for three touchdowns along with Aaron Jones in the Cowboys-Packers game. So maybe Schultz, he caught a touchdown last week, but that was his only catch. So, you know, you're definitely in danger of a lower floor there.
I think that if you are filling out one lineup, and we'll revisit this question tonight several times, Bill. If you're filling out one lineup, Collins would make the most sense. But if you're filling out numerous lineups and you don't want to pick Collins in every one, are you saying Schultz is your second choice here?
Yeah, if I had to pick a second, I'd go Schultz. Maybe if I was doing a bunch of lineups, I would do one or two with him. But then you got to be careful. I'm frustrated with one of my choices in the first contest that we did last week, where I have a team that's in the top 300. And one of the pivots, like with the Rams, I really like Puka Nacua. He's got the ceiling. Like, Stafford's going to throw to him all day. It's against Detroit. He's going to have a big game. But a couple other lineups, I went with Kyron Williams just in case, because he's, you know, such a top running back, and figure he's going to score. Well, that team, I basically left 24 points on the table. I'd be top 25 in the contest right now if I had just gone with Puka. So, and you can't get those points back because they lost. So. Mm-hmm. So those are the tough choices that, you know, with Houston, I don't think I'm going to go away from Nico Collins.
Just as a real quick pivot, is Puka Nacua a first round pick for you in redraft leagues next year, or is that too aggressive?
I don't think that's too aggressive. No, I mean, wide receivers are safer than running backs these days with injuries and the way the teams are using them. And, you know, Stafford's going to be back, same offense, same coaching staff. So yeah, I would think mid-late first round for Puka, I'd be on board with that.
Boy, I can't wait to analyze that going forward, because that is going to be fascinating to cover throughout the summer. The Houston Texans, Bill, are playing the Baltimore Ravens in the divisional round of the playoffs. It's the first game that we're going to get Saturday afternoon. The lineups in the FFPC Playoff Challenge 2 will lock right at kickoff of that game. I think that if you believe the Ravens are going to go all the way, Lamar Jackson seems to be a slam dunk pick. However, and we were talking with Judd Rosengart and Phil Orban last week on this program, the guys who won the $500,000 in the playoff challenge last year, and they were talking about this year, if you don't believe in the Ravens, the fade is probably going to be Justin Tucker, a guy who is one of the greatest, if not the greatest kicker of all time in NFL history, and a guy who's been awesome this year. If you don't think the Ravens are winning the AFC and getting to the Super Bowl, is Tucker in play for you? Would you look at Zay Flowers? Would you look at one of the tight ends, Isaiah Likely or Mark Andrews? I think as time goes on and we get closer to this game, there seem to be more and more options available for this Baltimore team if you don't think the Ravens are getting through the AFC.
Well, first I'd say the Ravens looked so good this year and so dominant when they played the top teams that I don't see them losing this first game, even before knowing who it was against. So So I didn't take Tucker in any of the teams last week, and we can't take him now. There's no kicker in this contest, but I did do a couple lineups where I took Zay Flowers, and I wanted to take Isaiah Likely, but then Andrews came off. Well, they opened his practice window and he's practicing again. So I scrapped any idea of Likely at that point last week and would continue to scrap it this week unless all of a sudden they say Andrews just isn't coming back, because you can't afford a zero in any of these lineups. You just can't. So I really liked Likely going in if Andrews was staying out. He helped me win a championship in one of my dynasty teams this year. So I was a little bummed to see Andrews back to practice, actually. I was like, let's go Likely. Held on to him all year. He did nothing and just knew that he would have big value eventually if Andrews gets hurt, because he gets hurt every year. So from a dynasty squad, I hold on to as much Likely as I can, and I think he really did himself well this year. But I like Zay Flowers. I'm a little worried that he's got this calf injury with the injury reports, but not sure how much that's really going to factor. I'm hoping he's healthy, and he could have a ceiling against a team like Houston, and again in the championship round against the Buffalo or Kansas City. And if they end up playing San Francisco, San Francisco gives up a lot to the wide receivers as you try to keep up with them. So I would go lean into Zay Flowers. And if you really wanted a wild card, Odell Beckham could be interesting too.
When you talked about at the top of the show, part of your process is finding the leverage and finding the pivots. To me, I think the Ravens are probably the team that you can find the most sleeper pivots on. You know, I hesitate to say the Niners have all these pivots because they're all so good. You know, we'll get to them in a little bit, but McCaffrey and Kittle and Ayuk and Samuel and Purdy, there's all these guys there. The Ravens, they're sort of quiet there. Now, if you're looking for leverage on Baltimore, and if you're not picking Lamar Jackson, is Andrews too deep of a pivot? Whereas you say, well, I'll go into the shallow end of the pool, Balky. I'll take Likely, but I am not a good enough swimmer to go all the way to the deep end and pick Mark Andrews coming up off of, you know, a lengthy time that he has missed because of injury. When you talk about leverage here with Baltimore, if there's one player you can gain the most leverage on, is it one of the tight ends?
Well, I would say it's Zay Flowers for me. Now, the advantage you have is that it's the first game, so you're going to know if Andrews active yet. And if he's active, then, yeah, he's definitely in play. Depending what the reports look like and if he's going to play the complement of snaps. I mean, you look at Sam Laporta last week, though, and coming off of an injury, I think he only had a couple of catches, maybe three. He did get the touchdown, but he didn't look healthy, and, you know, he's definitely hampered. So what kind of player are you getting? Are you going to get the ceiling that you need to try to win the contest? I mean, you could even say Gus Edwards. I mean, he could have two or three touchdowns, but then if he doesn't, you're stuck with 4 or 5 points.
So. Right, yes.
It's too scary for me to do, but
Let's shift to the Saturday night game, Packers and Niners. We'll start with Green Bay here. Aaron Jones absolutely dismantled the Cowboys. It's sort of what he does against Dallas. He gets 3 touchdowns in that game. The first time he has gone 3 straight 100-yard rushing games in his career. There is a narrative out there that says, because he missed so much time this year, Bill, during the season, that he is as fresh as he has ever been for a Green Bay playoff run. And so many times we have talked about the hopes and prayers of the Packers in the playoffs live and die by Aaron Jones and that offensive line. Given what you saw against Dallas, is that enough to say, okay, he's going to be the most owned Packer and I'm not going to fade him. I'm going to take whatever he can give me here this weekend. Or do you see a pass catcher? And there's a ton of them. Watson, Dobbs, Dontavian Wicks, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave. There's a lot of young pass catchers
Jaden Reed.
Within Green Bay. Jaden Reed. I didn't even forget. Yeah, I totally
didn't even
forgot
have
about
a catch.
Did not have a catch.
Points. He didn't have a catch.
I was saying to my local co-host in Northeast Wisconsin, I said, if I was to tell you that Christian Watson and Jaden Reed were going to combine for 1 catch for 9 yards, what would you have told me the final score of that Cowboys-Packers game would be? And he said, yeah, I mean, it would have been a blowout. And I totally agree. But Reed's another guy that you could easily go with. I mean, we saw, you know, Theo Greminger from Player Profiler put out on Twitter, I think it was yesterday or today, talking about how this guy could be a third-round pick in redraft next year. So I think he's got to be in the conversation as well. What I'm trying to say here is, while, and we'll get to San Francisco shortly, while there's a lot of players, a lot of studs in San Francisco, there are so many wild cards you could go with in Green Bay. If you believe the Packers are beating the Niners and going to the Super Bowl, Jordan Love becomes in play as well. So you're looking at Love and Jones and, you know, all the receivers I just mentioned, Reed, the tight ends and Kraft and Musgrave. How are you personally attacking the Green Bay Packers here in this competition, Bill?
I mean, I guess one idea is if you have the rest of your lineup dialed in and you know it's going to be great somehow, that you could play five lineups and have each of one of those pass catchers
in
your lineup.
Right.
You could do that. I would stay away from the wide receivers just because, and it could be any one of them. I mean, who would have guessed Romeo Doubs is going to go off like that? He's sat on the bench of most of my dynasty teams because I was high on him going into the season, and he started off, caught a couple touchdowns, and then he just didn't do much. So he was one of the bigger disappointments of the season, and then he goes big against Dallas. So who knows who it could be? But yeah, Aaron Jones is going to be a solid play, I would think, because even with the pass game, he's going to I don't know if Dylan will be back, but Jones is going to get the bulk of the work, and he'll get the carries that are going to be tough. But you know, he'll be involved in the pass game too. So I think he's got a pretty safe floor, and we've seen the ceiling. If there was a pivot, it might be Jordan Love, even just with how good he's been playing, and you could pass on San Francisco, so he could put up a lot of points even if they lost.
Do you have to, in this competition, Bill, in your opinion, do you have to have a quarterback in the Super Bowl, or can you get away with a running back or a tight end or a receiver in a tight end or a running back and receiver with the big game? Do you have to have a quarterback, or is that overrated?
I don't know that it's overrated, but I don't think you have to have the quarterback. I mean, we've seen a couple times where the defense was the top scoring in the Super Bowl. So you just never know. But if the offensive players are strong enough, it's okay to pivot away from the quarterback, I think, if you're going to get enough out of that position in the prior rounds. Like I probably wouldn't go Jordan Love necessarily. If I was going to pivot from Jones, I'd probably go Jordan Love. But if they're probably going to lose to the 49ers, so you're only going to probably get the one game. So that's where it's a little sketchy.
I think what's compelling, and you talked about this at the top, is to try to find leverage elsewhere. And not that I want to, you know, stump for my Packers here, but I will say this. they have played a bunch of games, a bunch of unmeaningful games here coming down the stretch of the season. Two of the more meaningful games, and you can make a case that these are the two best teams they've beaten. The Philadelphia Eagles, who were crushed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night. And then the Dallas Cowboys, who the Packers really rocked on the wild card weekend. So I think you can make the case to say that, and the fact that these guys haven't played a meaningful game in a month, you can tell yourself a story where the Packers eke out an upset here. And at that point, what's stopping them? Detroit, right? Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship game? Yeah, potentially. But I think if they beat San Francisco, we all know that Green Bay can beat anybody else remaining in the NFL. And I think that's the story you tell yourself. Again, if you're filling out one lineup, I wouldn't recommend Jordan Love. Bill is not going to recommend Jordan Love. But if you're filling out multiple lineups, you want to throw something in there, see what happens. A lot can happen here on the divisional round and going forward. Maybe you throw Jordan Love in there, and I think it could be pretty compelling. Now, that said, they are playing probably – well, I shouldn't say probably. Arguably the best team left in the NFL, maybe inarguably the best team left in the NFC, and that is the San Francisco 49ers. They'll be hosting the Packers at the Big Denim, as I'm calling it, at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara on Saturday night. We can go a ton of different ways. You've alluded to this already with McCaffrey and the two receivers, the tight end and Kittle, Brock Purdy at quarterback. And this is a team that is the odds-on favorite to get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC, and quite frankly, a heavy favorite to get to the Super Bowl from the NFC here. We know it's important to have a player in the Super Bowl that's going to score a lot of points, whether it's a quarterback in Purdy, a running back in McCaffrey, or because it's tight end premium in George Kittle, a tight end that's going to score a lot of points here. Which way, let's formulate this to the point where, Bill, we're filling out one lineup. We're filling out one lineup. Who is the Niner that you have to have? Is it McCaffrey, or is it better to pivot to somebody else?
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Craig doesn't have The Athletic. so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If this is a team you're picking your leverage point on, then you could go, I would go with Debo, actually, because he's going to maybe get a few carries. He was phenomenal down the end of the season, scoring touchdowns left and right, both through the air and on the ground. So he's my best pivot from McCaffrey would be Debo. But if you look at who they're playing, I mean, Green Bay has a pretty decent middle of the road defense. They're not, you know, great at stopping, but they're not bad either. Yeah. But if assuming they get through this game, Detroit and Tampa are both, you shred them through the air, and they're both pretty solid against run defense. So another reason to think about McCaffrey could struggle on the ground a little bit. Maybe his ceiling is a little bit lower against the Detroit or Tampa in the next round, assuming they get that far. So Debo's good. Ayuk isn't a bad play. Kittle's not a bad play. Kittle could score three touchdowns in any given game. And even Purdy, for that matter. I mean, he showed a ceiling from time to time and should do really well in that championship game as well.
You said Samuel for the pivot. He plays the same position as Ayuk. Is Samuel your play here for leverage? Is he your play here for versatility because he gets involved more in the running aspect of the San Francisco 49ers offense? What separates him? Why do you like him better than Ayuk?
I think he's going to get more touches than Ayuk. Now, Ayuk in any given day could get 20 yards per catch and only four or five catches. He's got 100 yards and two touchdowns. So, again, we're looking for that ceiling, and both guys have it. But Debo should get four or five catches as well and maybe two, three, four carries potentially. So, and those carries often go for a touchdown.
What? Let's shift to – and that makes sense, by the way. Let's shift to Sunday here. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are coming off a big win at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought up and down that game, and I know Philadelphia has been struggling the last, you know, month or whatever it's been, month and a half, but the Buccaneers went out and won that game. Which one of those Buccaneers, Bill, impressed you enough to say, okay, that's my guy in the FFPC playoff challenge too? This is the one I'm going to go with, and he's going to help me win $100,000. Who stood out the most? Or is there a player there that maybe did not have the greatest game in the world, but you still think is the right play for this playoff challenge two roster?
Yeah, I would probably pivot to Evans, even though he didn't have a great game, but you know, just going up against the Detroit secondary, they could throw deep to Evans all day. It's in a dome, so you have no weather, no wind, no rain to worry about. So the deeper balls, if Baker's healthy enough to get it downfield, hopefully, with whatever injuries he's got going on with his ribs and stuff. So, I mean, Kate Otten stood out in the game, though. Got to be impressed with what he did, given the game plan and what Baker could do. So definitely in play for another big pivot, I'd say. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Buccaneers are probably going to lose that game. So who's going to score more in a comeback, throw the ball around mode? Would it be Otten or Evans? I'm going to lean Evans just with the long ball and the ceiling that he's got. Mm-hmm. But I think Otten would be an interesting second choice. Godwin always has the potential as a second choice. And the other guys, they scored in the game, but they're really dart throws. So I probably wouldn't pivot to any of them. And Rashad White, I like him, but again, against Detroit's run defense, that's going to be pretty tough. So he's been, you know, slogging along a little bit against some of these tougher defenses down the stretch, where he really was solid for the season. But against Detroit, it's going to be a little harder to pick Rashad White.
Is there stuff to be said for Rashad White's pass catching ability that you could see? Okay, well, you know, I know he's probably not going to, you know, rush for 200 on the ground, but given what he can do in the passing game, is there something to be said for Rashad White there?
Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to get most of the snaps and be a part of that passing game, but Detroit's good at shutting down the points from the position. So
yeah,
it's taking a little bit more of a chance.
I think if we look at, and this, you can expound on this as far as redraft next year goes, one of the most consistent players, forget on the Lions, just in fantasy football in general, Amon-Ra St. Brown. This guy rarely, when he played, rarely finished out of the top 10 in receivers as far as scoring. He had a couple of blow-up games, but by and large, I mean, this dude is 7 for 95 and a touchdown, a half a touchdown. So like a touchdown every other week. You can't get more consistent than that. In this competition, where it will be, you know, essentially 3 weeks long, is there something to be said for, I don't like the Amon-Ra St. Brown consistency. I think that I need more of a spike if I'm going to beat out, you know, whatever it is, 1,500 other players here to win this. And I can do it via Gibbs. I can do it via Laporta. I might be able to do it even via Jared Goff here if the Lions, you know, are lucky enough to not lucky enough, but if they're fortunate enough to get by the Bucs and then beat the 49ers or Packers, probably the 49ers in the NFC Championship, all of a sudden you're looking at Jared Goff as a pretty good play. I wonder if St. Brown's consistency works against him in this, or am I just looking into this too deep? Your thoughts on St. Brown in this contest? And if you don't like him, Bill, who's the line you got to go with?
No, I love St. Brown. I can't fade him. He's the guy with the ceiling every week for the Lions. So, you know, if the running back split was a little different, because, I mean, I like both the running backs. You know, being a Bears guy, David Montgomery was always good for Chicago and was really underrated coming into the season, actually. I picked up a couple shares of him in Dynasty and helped me quite a bit. So he's, you know, he's consistent, actually, to get, you know, 50 to 75 yards and a touchdown a lot of times. But that's not the ceiling we're looking for. Gibbs has the ceiling and can break off a play any given play, but he's only getting, you know, 55% of the snaps or something like that. So it makes it harder to pick him as a pivot because he's not going to get as many opportunities. And then you're really leaning into the hope that he does break a couple. So, you know, Goff's an interesting thought. If you think they're going to get to the Super Bowl, if you think they can get through San Francisco, I think they can get through Tampa Bay at home playing, you know, on their turf in the dome. He's going to have a big game this week. If you're playing DFS, I like Goff, but I wouldn't like him at San Francisco on the road, on the grass, outside, against that defense. I don't think Detroit's going to, they're going to struggle with that. So I wouldn't want to go Goff if I'm thinking to the Super Bowl. And Amon-Ra can go big in both games. Even if they're losing to San Francisco, he could score 20, 30 plus points.
So I think maybe that's, like, I'm looking at this from the wrong perspective here. The fact that the Lions are the favorites this week against Tampa and then ostensibly would be the underdogs going out to San Francisco, if it plays out the way it's supposed to this week, you could make the case that, well, maybe its consistency works against him in a 1 week format, but in a 2 week format or perhaps a 3 week, his consistency works with you in the fact that, regardless of game script, St. Brown should be in that 7 to 8 catch neighborhood, in that 90 to 100 yard neighborhood, and maybe one or two touchdowns. Maybe he is the play then for Detroit because of how consistent he is, regardless of game script, Bill.
Yeah, and both matchups are going to be good for wide receivers. And then even if they get to the Super Bowl, you can throw against Baltimore too, like the Rams went off on him. So
right.
I like him in those cases. If Laporta wasn't hurt, he would be a potential pivot to think about, but I don't like the injury.
You didn't see enough from him in this previous game to say, okay, injury be darned. I still think you can play him here. He looks hobbled, or what is it to you? Doesn't pass the eye.
Yeah, he had the big knee brace. He looked hobbled. He wasn't playing full complement of snaps, so he was just in there for the red zone piece.
I want to talk about the Chiefs and Bills here. It's the only game we haven't talked about. It's the late Sunday afternoon game or the early Sunday evening fan, depending upon a game where you're watching this as a fan here. Patrick Mahomes, this is his first road playoff game ever in the history of his career, which sounds crazy, but it's true. I think that you could make the case that because of how good the Bills defense is, because this is a road game, Mahomes would make a lot of sense here if you believe in the Chiefs, because if they get it done, it'll probably be because of the shoulder and the arm of one Patrick Mahomes. Do we pick him in this format or do we pick one of his pass catchers? Bill, I guess this question comes down to, if you believe the Chiefs are getting to the Super Bowl, you're taking Mahomes. But one of the other guys we have to keep in mind, and a guy who had a resurgent performance in the Super Wild Card weekend, was Travis Kelce, 7 for 71. We don't want to forget about him, despite him kind of leaving us all in the lurch in the regular season of fantasy football this year. But this is a guy that came on in the Super Wild Card weekend. And oh, by the way, they got this guy, Rashee Rice, who's been a borderline top 12 receiver down the stretch of the fantasy football season. I love Mahomes, but man, there's a lot of Chiefs to pick from here. And I haven't even mentioned Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, we do have to pick two running backs at least in the contest. So we got to be thinking about which ones do we want to take, given what's offsetting with the players we're picking on the other teams. So, I mean, this is the tricky part of the contest, really, is the AFC is wide open between Kansas City, Buffalo winner, against Baltimore. If it ends up, I assume it's going to be Baltimore, but who knows? Houston could surprise like they did last week. Everybody expected, you know, Cleveland Browns defense, Dallas Cowboys defense. What happened to these defenses last week? It was all offense against them. So, you know, never count out Houston, but it's at Baltimore. They're the better team. So it's probably going to be Baltimore, but really Kansas City, Buffalo is a toss up. So picking the right players that are going to score the most out of that is an interesting topic, but I think Mahomes is actually going to probably be lesser owned, if I would guess. So he could be your leverage point, taking Mahomes, and he goes through this. Maybe he starts scoring a bunch of points and takes him to the Super Bowl and ends up being the play. But I like Rashee Rice a lot. I do like Isaiah Pacheco and also Kelce. I hadn't used him lately, but I think he came on decently. He still dropped a couple more balls last week, but you can't count him out in a big game like that.
And a game that might feature him, like the elements, I don't want to say it's going to be like, you know, 10 feet of snow and, you know, 70 below zero or anything like that.
Maybe.
But, well, yeah, non-zero chance of anything. But that would, I think, play off to him. I think that would play off to, well, I mean, you could make the case that maybe that's an advantage for Kelce. Maybe it's an advantage for Rashee Rice when you think about all the underneath stuff that dude runs and all the horizontal passes they give to Rice. And then, of course, the human dynamo in Isaiah Pacheco, who runs as hard as anybody out there. I think that there's something to be said for that, too. So, maybe the Chiefs, Bill, they might be the most important and toughest team. Well, maybe not toughest team, because I think San Francisco is going to be tough to get right. But Kansas City, as far as the AFC goes, they might be the team, if you get it right, you could vault right up that leaderboard, my friend.
And if they win, if they make it to the Super Bowl somehow, that's big. And, I mean, really, you could go with it. You could make a story for any of those four guys easily. So,
Final team that we haven't talked about, Buffalo. They end up beating Pittsburgh in at least a closer game than I thought it was going to be on Monday afternoon. Gabe Davis, we don't, at least at last time I checked, we don't know about his availability for this game against Kansas City. For the first time in years, the Buffalo Bills are going to be trying to make a deep playoff run with a Pro Bowl running back. They let Leonard Fournette go today. That was the breaking news.
That was kind of surprising.
Yeah, very surprising, given that this is what you want him on your roster for, for these slobber knockers and in the cold and in the wind and in the snow for these games here regardless of the games in Buffalo this weekend or Baltimore next weekend. They have James Cook. He's going to the Pro Bowl. So I think that he's an interesting guy to keep in mind. Are either of these guys, or perhaps the suddenly resurgent Stephon Diggs, And when I mentioned Dalton Kincaid, the tight end, the rookie tight end Wunderkind, who has been setting the world on fire the second half of the season. There are a lot of options in Buffalo, but my God, when Josh Allen is running hot, it is tough to find a better quarterback than him. Bill, the question here is, I guess, how far do you have the Bills going? Because that depends on, or that will determine which Bill you pick here.
It's a tough call. Like, this game is really going to be close, and either team could beat Baltimore, I think, too. So it's tough to call who's going to win. I mean, from a pure fantasy play, who's the best player? It's Josh Allen, for sure. Mm-hmm. He's the number one quarterback and has done well. But, man, the Kansas City defense has shut down quarterbacks and been really challenging for quarterbacks this year. So I think Allen's going to struggle. And if you look at what he did in the first game, he did struggle a bit. He got a touchdown on the ground, too. So he ended up with like 23, 24 points. But I think he's going to have a hard time hitting a ceiling against Kansas City. I think he'd probably do better against Baltimore, actually, than Kansas City, if they can squeak by.
Why do you think he puts up – why is Baltimore a better matchup for Josh Allen than Kansas City?
Just in watching Baltimore this year, I've seen teams throw on him. They didn't necessarily win the games, but they've been able to attack him and score and make it close. And they even lost a couple games that didn't make a lot of sense earlier in the season. So they've been tough to beat lately. I mean, they're the team that they took care of San Francisco and Philadelphia, right? If I remember right. So they looked really good doing it. So hard to bet against Lamar. And I think that's why if I'm picking one lineup, I'm going to want to go Lamar Jackson. And then it's tough to pick which Bill. And so I was kind of leaning, if I put a lineup together, I was leaning James Cook, just given the matchup. And he did well in the first matchup with Kansas City, where they need to get the ball out a little quicker and get away from the cornerbacks the Kansas City's got out there. So Cook had a good game and could have another good game, but any of the Bills' skill players are, there's also the potential low floor. Cook was disappointing in the fantasy playoffs and scored like 5 points each week. So, you know, that's the fallback that could happen. But Diggs, since the new offensive coordinator took over for Buffalo, hasn't been the same. He hasn't had a ceiling game since that happened. Kincaid is interesting, and I did pick him as a couple of leverage pivots in the first contest last week. He did get the touchdown and some yards, so he's in play. I think I would like him almost as good or about as good as Cook if you're not going with Allen, believing that they're going to score and get past these teams.
What about just weigh in on this topic with Stephon Diggs, a guy that was the last month or so of the season was still getting the same targets he was getting throughout the season, but they were different targets. Like they were, you know, these little over the middle or comeback hitches. Like it wasn't a lot of downfield stuff, which I think neutered a lot of his fantasy football value. Then you saw what he did against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday, and I think it gives you a little bit more of a hope. Do you think Diggs is a guy that could be a strong pivot, or is he more of a trap guy where you don't really want to play him in this competition?
He could be a strong pivot if he went off with a ceiling type game, but I think against Kansas City, that's going to be tough for him to do when he's really the only wide receiver focal point for Kansas City to worry about with, I don't think Gabe Davis practicing this week. I doubt he's going to play.
I'll look it up right now, but I don't think he has been.
And I mean, Khalil Shakir is interesting, but he gets three catches a game and makes them look good. I don't think Kansas City has to worry too much about the other players. They got to worry about the tight ends. You know, they've got Kincaid and Knox is still catching touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So I was going to play one of Kincaid because he's getting the downfield target. He's actually getting more downfield targets than Diggs, it seems.
You know, I'm just thinking about this as I looked it up. The Bills played yesterday, so I don't think the Bills practiced today. We'll find out more about what's going on with him tomorrow. But again, a lot of different ways that you could go in Buffalo here. You know, people just assume in this playoff challenge too, Bill, that it's very chalky, and quite frankly, you know, there's something to be said for what happened last year where we had a bunch of ties near the top of the leaderboard or at the top of the leaderboard. But I don't necessarily think like there are still some pivots. There are still some leverage plays here. I'm going to let you take this the way you want to take it. Let's formulate a lineup of eight players right now And you can choose like, okay, Balky, we're doing this based on we're filling out one team in the contest, or we're filling out three teams in the contest, or we're filling out five or more teams in the contest. I'll leave it up to you. Now, for all the viewers that are wondering, the FFPC Playoff Challenge 2, myffpc.com is where to go to register. This is an eight-team lineup. So in the Playoff Challenge, the world-famous Playoff Challenge that everybody submitted lineups for last week, that was a 12-team lineup where you had to fade two teams. This week, you're playing eight players, no fades. You have to pick a player on every single one of the FFPC of the NFL Divisional Playoff Challenge or Divisional Playoffs, excuse me, teams. So there are no fades in this. You have to pick one player from each team. Bill, I'll let you take this away. Let's start off with the quarterback here. We've covered very briefly on the show tonight all the teams. The quarterback in this contest, who would you pick?
I'm going to go Lamar Jackson. Just thinking Baltimore's going to get to the Super Bowl, likely win it. He's going to have at least a couple, you know, one or two out of the three ceiling games, I would think. Mm-hmm. Maybe one middle-of-the-road game, but he's got the rushing yards. He's going to score touchdowns, and his passing this year has been really good. And he's got a lot of weapons to throw to as well.
And I think, you know, because of his legs and because of the favorites that they are in this first game, and the fact that they, if they get by, they will be hosting the AFC Championship in Baltimore. That makes a lot of sense. We do have to fulfill two running back positions here in this competition, Bill. Who are we taking as our top two running backs in this?
We talked about Aaron Jones and how there's probably not another good play that has the ceiling. I mean, there's ceiling guys there, but picking which one's going to get it, we just don't know. So looking at what he did last week, I think it's going this week for his fifth 100-yard week in a row. He's hot right now. He didn't play a lot early in the year, so he's fresh like you talked about. So I like Aaron Jones there for one of them. And since we didn't go with Josh Allen, I'm going to lean into James Cook for Buffalo. I could think about Kincaid as well, but we need to have running backs too. And so I'm thinking Travis Kelce at the tight end, given what we have left, and go James Cook at the running back.
Okay. All right. So that we know good. We got half our team here. The backfield is complete. Jackson, Jones, and Cook. And then Kelce will be the tight end here. I think that the flexes will be compelling, but we do have to fill two wide receiver positions yet here too. Before we get to the flexes, Bill, who would you say for this team, this specific team we're building here, who are the wide receivers going to be?
Amon-Ra's number one. So we talked about not being able to fade him. So they're going to go, going to go St. Brown out of Detroit for one of those two. And then I think Mike Evans comes on big this week against Detroit. If Tampa can somehow beat him, then he's going to score more down the road, but I think going out, he should have a lot of points. He's got the ceiling at least to go for.
Okay, so we add St. Brown and we add Evans onto this team. That means, as far as flexes go, we are still missing a San Francisco 49er and we are still missing a Houston Texan. Bill, how are we filling these last two slots on our team? Could be a running back, could be a receiver, could be a tight end, but one has to be a Niner and one has to be a Texan.
I'm going to fill out the flexes with more wide receivers because bigger ceilings, I think. If we were going to go McCaffrey at a running back, then he'd be over one of the two guys. He'd probably be over James Cook, and maybe we'd flex out to Kincaid or something like that, or maybe Diggs. But going to go Nico Collins for Houston at the wide receiver spot because he's definitely their ceiling play. And then we talked about Debo earlier. So I like Debo for San Francisco as a pivot from McCaffrey to hopefully make my lineup look different from a lot of the field.
So we are looking here at four wide receiver set. We're doing four verts here. From the guy who won co-winner of the Football Guys Playoff Challenge 2 last year and the co-runner up of the FFPC Playoff Challenge 2 last year. Here is the lineup we have submitted tonight. I got Bill. I got your name on here. So we got, and I know, yeah, this is great production value. Lamar Jackson at the quarterback. Aaron Jones, James Cook are your running backs. You're looking at St. Brown, Evans, Collins, and Debo Samuel at wide receiver. And the tight end will be indeed Travis Kelce. So that's the lineup we have built. feel free to use it. Bill, I don't know if you're going to be using it or not, but it's your lineup. Feel free to do what you want with it. But after, 45 minutes plus, this is the best we have come up with. And hopefully this will be the $100,000 winning team. And I think, Bill, and just real quick, this last thought here, I look at these teams, and I know you looked at these teams in both playoff challenges over the years. You look at them when they're done, you're like, that doesn't seem all that crazy. You know, you just think with, 1,500 teams or 5,000 teams like this playoff challenge two is going to be, you think you got to go crazy and you got to pick some weird, who'd be a good example? Dontavian Wicks for the Packers or Trey Palmer for the Buccaneers. Romeo Doubs for Green Bay.
Did anybody pick Doubs? Was he on any lineup?
I'm sure he was. I didn't, Fantasy Mojo would have the stats on that, but I'm sure somebody did pick him and they're probably loving life that they did. But you don't necessarily need a wacko lineup. You just kind of, you look at the $500,000 winners in the FFPC playoff challenge last year, just kind of pick the best players on every team and they won, and sometimes that's what it comes down to.
It always makes sense at the end. Oh yeah, that made a lot of sense, right. But it's such a fun contest to play these, to just strategize and think about how's it going to play out and which player. And it's always a lot of fun putting them together. So really, really enjoy that you guys keep doing it.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll keep doing it going forward. Very lucrative, very profitable for you last year. I hope it's just as lucrative or just as profitable or maybe more profitable for you this year, Bill. We'll see what happens with that. But congratulations on all your success, not only last year in this contest, but in your 2023 season. I hope nothing but the best for you going forward. And thank you so much for joining me as my guest co-host here tonight on the season 8 finale of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. It's been too long. Let's do this again sometime soon, man.
Appreciate it, Eric. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me. Good luck, everybody.
Thank you so much. That is Bill McCall, ladies and gentlemen, the runner-up in the FFPC Playoff Challenge 2 last year, the co-champion of the Football Guys Playoff Challenge last year as well. I want to thank him for his contributions tonight and formulating the winning lineup as I post it right here. Jackson, Jones, Cook, St. Brown, Evans, Kelsey, Collins, Samuel. That's Bill McCall's lineup. You can feel free to enter that. As time is running out on that, that will lock Saturday afternoon. So we are Tuesday evening right now? You're looking at 1, 2, 3, less than 4 days away before that lock. So get your entries in for the FFPC Playoff Challenge 2 divisional round right now at myffpc.com. Myffpc.com is where to go for that. $100,000 to the winner. If you want to enter at the $200 entry fee, if you want to enter at the $35 level, you can still win $25,000. That's at myffpc.com. No draft, no salary cap, only fun. Once this lineup is submitted by the divisional playoff that kicks off between the Texans and Ravens, that is it. You don't have to touch it the rest of the playoffs. MYFFPC.com, MyFFPC.com is where to go for that. Take one more shot at a six-figure grand prize this year in the FFPC. That will complete our show tonight. We will not be back next Tuesday. This was our Season 8 finale. We will kick off Season 9 coming up. I'll get you the premiere date for that in a second here. We will kick off Season 9 of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown coming up on February 6th. 2024. So that is 3 weeks from today. That will be our Super Bowl preview episode. We'll get some never too early best ball analysis in that draft, maybe a little bit of dynasty as well, depending upon who we get on the show. But February 6th will be the next time we go live here. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Show is live this Thursday on the Better Sports Network socials, as well as betternetwork.com and all the FFPC socials. We will have more coverage of the FFPC Playoff Challenge 2 with Kevin Wheeler from the 33rd team. So Wheels is going to join me on that program for 2 full hours. We will touch on what happened in 2023, a look forward to 2024, but we'll be formulating a lineup for the FFPC Playoff Challenge 2 to help you win that $100,000 grand prize as well. And then, of course, this Friday night, Farrell Elliott and myself on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour will welcome in another big champion, another big winner from the 2023 season with the FFPC. That goes live in the FFPC socials as well as the FFPC YouTube at 10 p.m. Eastern time this Friday night. MyFFPC.com is where to go for these great FFPC Playoff Challenge 2 contest. Look, I know the 2023 season wasn't as good as you wanted it to be. It never is, quite frankly. So here's your chance to make a lot of money here, $100,000 up for grabs if you want to play in the FFPC Playoff Challenge 2 at myffpc.com, myffpc.com. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on this video, share it with your friends and enemies, and get notified every time we go live at the FFPC YouTube channel, youtube.com/FFPC Fantasy. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks for making season 8 with the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown another winner. We will do it again with season 9 coming up 3 weeks from today, February 6th, 2024. Good luck in those playoff challenge lineups, everybody. Good luck in the postseason. We'll talk with you again heading in to Super Bowl 58, 59, whatever it is right now, heading into Super Bowl 2024. Thanks for watching, everybody. Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 10% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.